Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello everyone, I'm Josh from What Culture Gaming, and The Last of Us TV show has just aired its first episode. And it's bloody good, to say the least. But with such strong reviews and proclamations that it might be one of the best TV pilots ever made, how much does it actually get right, and is there anything that it could have done better? Well, as a huge fan of the video game, as you may know, I just had to convince my bosses to allow me to do ups and downs on this show, at least for the first episode, because I really want to dive in to everything that the show got right and just how much I enjoyed certain changes that were made. But that's not to say it's perfect. Oh, and just before we actually dive into the nitty-gritty, I want to say that I'm trying to keep this series as accessible as possible for fans of the game, as well as newcomers to the series. So don't worry, there's not going to be any future game spoilers here. I'm only going to talk about the game up to the point in the story where we are in the show. So, full spoilers for the episode we're about to talk about, but only spoilers for the game up until this point in the story. And with that in mind, let's jump in to the ups and downs. So, in a rather left-field move, the show actually starts with a scene not included in the game at all, that being a chat show set in the year 1968. And to be honest, I was a little bit unsure about this at first. While I, of course, wanted to give the surprise appearance of John Hannah, aka Jonathan from The Mummy, a resounding up, I worried that starting the series with a big explanation about the dangers of fungal infections was too expository and not exciting enough. Having sat on it though, I really do love this as a primer for the story to come. The wrinkles of this knowledge being well known for decades before the actual outbreak hits adds to the horror of humanity's eventual downfall, and like so many calamities, the warning signs were there and were ultimately ignored because they were too inconvenient. It sets a foreboding tone of inevitability, and that ultimately gets a big up from me. Like in the game though, the first main character we get to see is Sarah, here played by Nico Parker. And Parker in general is just outstanding in what little time she has in the episode. Whether she's reacting to the offer of raisin cookies rather than chocolate chip, or giving her dad grief about coming home later than he said he would, she imbues the role with such warmth and humanity right from the get-go. She's great, so let's give her an up. Now, the building of dread as the outbreak itself builds in the background of these scenes is also excellently done. Admittedly, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. I mean, even Shaun of the Dead effectively evoked the horror of creeping impending doom building around an unassuming character nearly 20 years ago. God, has that been 20 years? I'm so old! But that said, creator Craig Mazin and co. are absolutely experts at building the tension as this day goes on. And none of these scenes are more traumatizing than when Sarah is in the home of one of her elderly neighbors. This one out of focus shot of the old lady twitching and contorting as the infection takes hold is just brilliant. Like, I did not see this coming, and it's a great addition and something you can only really accomplish in TV or film. Like, you could do this in a game in a cutscene, but it works a little bit better here. It's probably the scariest moment of the whole episode. It's brilliantly creative from a filmmaking standpoint, and again, it builds into that idea that something horrific is just happening on the periphery. So yeah, this definitely gets a big up, and I hope this isn't the last time that we see this quieter style of scare appear in the series. However, forget the quieter moments for a second, as the biggest set piece of the episode, that being Joel, Sarah, and Tommy trying to find safety as civilization as they know it is collapsing, is easily the best. It's the most impressive and intense stretch, and taken more or less beat for beat exactly from the video game. The camera work is claustrophobic and suffocating, trapping us in Sarah's perspective as chaos erupts outside of the car. The spectacle on show as well makes it clear that Mazin and co-op spent every single penny of that silly HBO money to make a production that rivals some Hollywood movies in terms of its scale. Hell, this is probably one of the finest depictions of a zombie-adjacent outbreak happening ever put to film, no matter the medium. The move from one infected monster in the neighborhood to the chaos on the roads to the army's presence to all-out destruction in the city and exploding airplanes, it's just paced to perfection. What a sense of escalation there. Now, the infected themselves, at this early stage anyway, have been translated really well. In fact, the one chasing Joel and Sarah is chaotic and dangerous in a way we've not really seen in the games. Like, seriously, that lad is just throwing himself all over the gaff. He doesn't care if he gets hurt. He's just going straight in to that bar and going crazy. I love it. This whole sequence then definitely gets a massive, massive up for me. I loved every single second of it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, this takes us to Sarah's death. This was the scene that fans were bracing themselves for, and the one that they desperately needed to get right, and it did not disappoint. As an emotional foundation of Joel's entire character, the trauma here is brutally realized, and Pedro Pascal and Nico Parker's performances drive the loss home. So, while it feels a little bit odd to give the traumatic death of a child an up, you kinda got it. Speaking of this pair, I don't want to go too deep into the performances of each of the actors, but I think it's safe to say that they've proved any doubters wrong. This thing is perfectly cast, and even in this first episode, we get a glimpse of what everyone is capable of. As mentioned, Pedro Pascal's Joel is spot on, giving us a more broken down version of the character, who still retains an underlying ruthlessness. Bella Ramsey also proves that she's Ellie through and through from her opening scene, while Anna Taub's Tess is a pure joy. as is her extended introduction after getting beat up by Robert's goons. So yeah, big ups across the board here. Give this casting director a raise. Now, full disclosure, The Last of Us is definitely one of my favourite games of all time, like top 5 dead or alive, but even then I've always been of the opinion that the stretch after Sarah's death, up until the point that Ellie, Tess and Joel leave the Boston QZ, is definitely the clunkiest, least compelling part of the entire story. Consequently, I think the show makes some smart moves in changing and condensing parts of this section. Ellie, for instance, is introduced earlier in the show, which not only reflects her more prominent role in the story, but also allows a TV audience more time to actually connect with her. Ellie and Joel's first meeting is also slightly changed as well, with Joel just yeeting her into a wall after she tries to attack him. These changes keep the pace up, and the more antagonistic relationship between Joel and Ellie to start with is welcome as well. So yeah, this change definitely gets an up. The changes to Robert's role in the story as well are ultimately a smart move in the grand scheme of things for my money. At first, I did think that it was a little bit unnecessary for him to have already been killed by the time Tess and Joel catch up to him. After all, in the game, the pair's interrogation of him just shows how ruthless and weary these characters can be in how they absolutely take no BS. Ultimately, though, I think saving Joel's first real act of violence against another human for the end of the episode works way better on a thematic level. We're told throughout the episode that Joel is a scary guy. Hell, Robert is piss scared that he'll come for him. But Joel's first kill, being an armed guard threatening him and his people, bringing back memories of Sarah's death, makes this change worthwhile. It shows us the kind of savagery that he's capable of. I mean, remember, this guard in particular wasn't an acquaintance of his earlier in the episode, and reminds us of the rage and despair that he still feels over Sarah's death that happened 20 years ago. For me, this is one of the best changes and definitely an up for the episode. However, the way this scene is executed admittedly isn't perfect. While it does have a lot going for it, I do think some elements of it were a little rushed. For instance, I think Ellie's immunity reveal kind of comes and goes a little too quickly and doesn't have the same weight that it has in the game. Likewise, the flashes back to Sarah's death during this moment do feel a little bit heavy-handed. I feel like viewers would have understood the similarities and meaning without flashing back to so much of a scene that we just saw. If they had to do this, then a little glimpse would have done, rather than showing Joel's despair in particular all over again. Sometimes, as you might maybe argue about the exploding aeroplane, less can be more. Audiences are smart enough to get it, and while it is still a great scene overall, this particular flourish does get it down. Okay, quite frankly, I'm running out of time, so let's do some rapid-fire ups that I couldn't fit into the main body of the script. First, the fleshing out of the guard Joel kills Lee. It's just a great way of establishing the actual humans behind the military in Boston and giving more of a character to an NPC. Then there's the production of the Boston QZ itself. Like, that was so faithful to the game, it kinda made me emotional. We've got Joel and Tess getting their gear from their backpack just like in the game. We've got Joel on corpse duty, which I absolutely loved and was a tragic wrinkle to his time in the Boston QZ. We've got Ellie's face when Marlene mentions Riley. We've got Ellie kicking the plate of food away, which I thought was great. And we've got Ellie swearing as Tess and Joel shut the door. That was so good. That was very on brand. And of course, to round things off, as if it was ever in doubt, the score is absolutely impeccable. Gustavo Santaolalla is just incredible. I'm so glad that they got him over to put the music back into the series. From the title sequence alone, I knew it was going to be incredible. So, those are my thoughts on The Last of Us's premiere. I want to know what you guys think down in the comments below. Did you enjoy it as much as I did? And if you want, you can check out the podcast we did on the What Culture Gaming podcast all about this first episode, including the perspective of someone, Scott Tilford, who didn't necessarily like it as much as I did. Check that out, and if you could, please give us a like, share, subscribe, and hopefully, if enough of you guys like this, and enough of you watch it, I'll get to do this every week, but even if I don't, I will definitely check in when the finale airs, so you can't get rid of me that easy. Until then, though, I've been Josh, thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you soon.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.